Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. All right, you ready?
Sure thing.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Oscar De La Hoya. Beeb, he's on the way back. Beeb, he's coming back, baby. You got to love it, right? It's Oscar.
I'm a little nervous for him, to be honest.
I'm a little nervous for him too. That's not an easy task he's got going there.
That's a big dude he's going to be going.
It's a real big guy. He's a real big guy.
He's not a little guy at all.
And that guy can fight, man. That guy can fight a little bit. He can throw a little.
Belfort's another UFC fighter that's really good with his hands.
He is. He's known for his hands. So if
De La Hoya thinks this is going to be a walk in the park because this guy doesn't have boxing experience, then he called this fight a tune-up. So if that's his approach to this fight, then I'm actually very, very worried for him.
I tell you what, no doubt, man. And tonight, we're also brought to you by the movie American Fighter, starring Tommy Flanagan and Sean Patrick Flannery. Tonight, we have digital codes to give away, so you can watch the movie right at home, so stay tuned, and we'll tell you how to get them, all right? So there you go, Beeb. 2 weeks, two movies in a row. How about that? See what we do for you guys?
These are great movies.
They're good movies. They're great movies, right?
Action-packed movies.
Yeah. You got to love them, man. Got to love them, man. First, we're going to get started with ESPN, the monster. Naoya Inoue wins by TKO in round three over Michael Dasmarinas. It was a left hook to the liver that just did the damage. You know, in that first about round and a half, you know, they're just kind of feeling each other out. Inoue hit him with that left to the liver, and that was all she wrote. I mean, he found some glass in that body because he did it, and the guy, you know, Dasmarinas dropped. You know, it was like a delayed reaction when he hit him. He dropped, got back up. And that was it, man. Inoue kept going right after him. And the great thing about it, he didn't go body crazy with it. You know, sometimes people hit you with a right hand, they go right hand crazy and just keep throwing it and throwing it. Not the case here, man. Not the case at all. What Inoue did is he went back upstairs, made him raise his arms up, boom, right back to the body. Did not make it obvious. He set those traps. He set them well. Ends up knocking him out with a body shot. And, you know, that last shot that he hit him with, you've been hitting the liver before. I've been hitting the liver before. It is painful. I can't even tell you. It's painful. And even if you don't get hit flush, all right, even if you don't get hit flush, not a full shot, not a full, maybe you blocked it, maybe you rolled with it a little bit, it hurts. You can just bump it, and it hurts with a shot. It's so bad because it like takes your breath away because of the pain. You know, you get that pain and it's like, you know, it hurts. It's a tough shot to recover from. And, you know, some people can recover from them if you get hit, you know, but if you get hit clean in that liver, man, you don't come. That's a hard one to come back from, Beeb.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, Inoue looked vicious in this fight. I can't wait to see him again. Now, obviously, Dasmarinas is not the guy we want to see him against. You know, we want to see him against upper-tier competition, which looks like we may with Donaire and Casimiro, which we'll talk about a little bit later. They're going to fight, and it looks like the winner, they're going to try to unify those titles. When Inoue beat Manny Rodriguez in that tournament,
easily.
And that was like that second round. Second round. I expected Manny Rodriguez to win that fight. I actually picked Rodriguez to win that fight. Rodriguez was that impressive coming into that fight. When he beat him in that fight, there was no more questions. There was no more questions after that. You knew this guy was going to sail into the finals, and this guy was going to win it all. You know, there was no more questions after that one. B, what were your impressions of Inoue in this fight?
Well, the one thing that befuddles me about people's opinion of Inoue is they're always saying, oh, he doesn't have great defense, he doesn't move his head or whatever. But what Inoue does, there's a lot of little subtle things Inoue does. Like you said, he really knows how to create the openings, right? He's very accurate with the punches, but he also knows how to hit guys in certain areas and get them to move their hands around so he can create openings for himself. He really knows how to open up that body attack. He'll throw that little that jab upstairs, little feeler, get the guy to move his hands around a little bit. Boom! He just jumps right in, slides right in really quick, and rips those body shots. Particularly that left hook is a killer to the body. It's a monster punch, right? And he throws a lot of great feints, also to create openings for himself. But the little subtle moves, like he'll punch and make that little step up and step off to the side, and he's constantly creating angles for himself, right? Not a lot of excessive movement, not like Manny Pacquiao type movement where he's going in and out, a lot of ambush. This man stays within an arm's length, boom, boom, little step here, creates that opening, comes in on the angle. So he'll punch you and never stay straight in front of you. So it's hard to counter this guy because of those little subtle moves from side to side that he makes, right? And what do they always say? The best defense is a strong offense.
Yeah.
So if he is constantly blanketing you with a variety of punches from all types of angles, upstairs and downstairs, keeping you guessing what's coming next, then you're going to keep your hands at home. You're going to keep your hands in your pockets. You're not going to be able, or you're not going to want to open up because you're afraid of what's coming back at you, right? How many punches are landed on Inoue throughout the course of a fight? I mean, these fights aren't lasting very long, but he's really not getting touched up much. And even in the Donaire fight, Donaire did land some good shots. Don't get me wrong.
Bro, because Ornable in that fight, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
But even still, Inoue really significantly outlanded Donaire in that fight. He outworked him in spots. The thing was Donaire landed some pretty clean quality type shots.
Yeah.
Okay? And, Inoue still came on strong in the end. And he started to really, step up the pace in the end. And his output went up and Donaire's kind of went down. So Donaire got off to a great start. But Inoue took the play away with a strong finish. So I don't think Inoue is just this one-trick pony. He's got power in both hands. He knows how to create the openings. Does a lot of subtle movement defensively. And, doesn't stand straight in front of you after he lands a shot. He's not allowing you to be able to counter him, right, because he's getting out of the way. And I just think he's going to be difficult for anyone to handle. I don't see the criticism, or I don't understand the criticism in Inoue. People try to break him down like, oh, he's not all that. Well, I think he is.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, he's beaten some of the best guys in the world. You know, I tell you what, I mean, you look at Inoue and you say, all right, well, great. He can go. What happens when he has to, because I was saying this prior to the Donaire fight. What happens, okay, so he's knocking everybody out. What happens when he gets extended? What happens when he can't knock that guy out? What happens when he gets into a fight? Donaire proved everything there. Proved everything in that fight.
That's right.
Got a guy in there that could take a shot. Got a guy in there that could, go the distance with him. What happens when he gets hurt? Well, he had a broken orbital bone in that fight.
He faced adversity, and he dealt with it, and he overcame it.
Right.
So once again, he proved that he's not just this one-trick pony, just all offense. He's more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, man, that fight last night, I mean, we knew he was going to win. It was just a question of when. He was just, I mean, you know, from start to finish, just dominant, you know. So, yeah, I mean, he looked great. I want to see him against the winner of the Casimiro flash fight. And I don't think either one. I mean, he's already beaten the one. I don't think Casimiro beats him. I like Casimiro a lot, but I don't think he beats him.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody beating him right now, you know.
I wonder how long he's going to stay at 118 or if he's going to go up to 122. He seems to be able to make the weight really comfortably. He's only 28 years old.
How I guess I wonder how tall he is as compared to the 122. Is, you know, will he be? Because he seems he's not like being, you know, outsized where he's at. He doesn't seem to be undersized.
Yeah, he's only 5'5", you know, 67-inch reach. So
the 122s, I think the 122s are about the same then, right?
Yeah, I think that may be his cap. I wouldn't want to see him go above that. I don't think he'll be good at feather. He could be good at feather, but I don't necessarily think he would. Just looking at his
frame, may not carry that power.
Yeah, those guys may be a little bit too big for him up there.
Yeah, and he's a sharp puncher too, man. I tell you what, he is. He's the goods right now, man. I don't know another fighter out there that, you know, you can really kind of compare him to. He's
like a sniper too. He's like you said, he's so accurate, places his punches perfectly, beautifully.
You know, and he's only got he doesn't have that many fights, but already, you know, I mean, when he was coming up, they talked about him beating former world champions and everything, and I said, well, they were washed. Well, of course he's going to knock these guys out. Of course he's going to take. But again, when he got in that tournament, fought the best guys in the world, took them all square out. You know, I mean, listen, man, that guy's
21 fights in, 18 knockouts.
Yeah.
28 years old. Sky's the limit for this kid.
It really is.
No, I mean, I don't really have too much negative things to say about Inoue at all.
I mean, could he be possibly the best fighter in Japanese history? I mean,
he has the potential to be, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I don't know who else would be there right now ahead of him. I don't know.
No, I don't either. I don't either. I really don't. You know. But let me tell you this though. You know what I did not like about the broadcast here is how bad does ESPN just dump on Top Rank? You know, I mean, they were preempted almost 2 hours. Because I had it on DVR. Come home. And I'm watching the College World Series here for 2 hours, just fast-forwarding through it. I'm like, no wonder ESPN gave him an extension. I mean, they treat him like a stepchild, and, of course, Top Rank just rolls over and takes it. What in the world, man? I mean, you're supposed to be on ESPN. You know, we tape it, you know, or you DVR it or whatever. And it's like, what is going on with this, man? Is anybody from Top Rank going to say, hey, what about this, that your fighters aren't being showcased? I mean, it wasn't a classic undercard, let's put it that way. But, you know, that being said, I missed the undercard. You know, I didn't see any, but I only saw the main event because that was all that was there.
All I can say is thank goodness for ESPN Plus, because that's how I was able to watch some of the other fights.
Yeah.
Right?
Who was on the undercard?
Mikhail Mayer.
Okay.
She was there. Adam Lopez and Isaac Dogbo.
Yeah, what did Dog Bay do? I didn't even hear about that fight.
Very close fight. I thought that Adam Lopez got off to a great start, but I thought Dog Bay finished strong.
Okay.
It was a fight that could have gone either way.
And Dog Bay won, or he?
Dog Bay edged him out. Yeah.
Okay.
He edged him out.
All right, good deal.
Real close fight. Could have gone either way. I really enjoyed it. I'm not really superly impressed with Mikhail Mayer. To me, she seems very one-dimensional, fights on the outside pretty well, basically throws straight punches from the outside, not really great on the inside, not a lot of variation to her punches, doesn't really commit to the body. Good jab, pretty good 1-2, but seems like a real basic fighter to me. I don't think there's – I think she's a real – pattern type fighter, repetitive type fighter. Not a lot of variation to the offense for me. I couldn't see her beating some of those other women. I like a Katie Taylor. She used to ever go up to 135.
Yeah.
I could never see her beating a Katie Taylor or a Natasha Jonas or a Terry. I couldn't see her beating a Terry Harper. I think Terry Harper will beat her. I'm not crazy impressed with her, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
She's got some athletic ability, decent speed or whatever, but doesn't really have a lot of power. And like I said, very basic, very repetitive, very pattern type fighter. I don't think there's a lot of variation to her. Not a lot of bells and whistles to her game at all, in my opinion. I'm not overly impressed.
Outlaw said in the chat, he says, why don't they just put it on ESPN2 from the start? I don't know. I'm not the program director. I can't answer that, but that would seem like the thing to do. You know, I tell you what, I mean, you know, you got this fight and you know, it says ESPN 10 o'clock. So you record it, you know, or DVR it. And, that's it, you know, and then you're watching the College World Series that nobody cares about for 2 hours. You know, I mean, what are the ratings for the College World Series as compared to the fight? College World Series has to be blowing them out, right? They have to be.
It's ridiculous.
They would have to be blowing out boxing in order for – because I'm going to tell you right now, if they UFC's on, College World Series is getting bumped, son. They are bumpski for ESPN2 or ESPN3 or Plus or whatever it is they're doing. They are out, son. No question.
Before we go any further – just want to wish you, first of all, a very happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
And I want to wish all the other fathers out there a very happy Father's Day. I also want to thank the Paul brothers for sending me this beautiful shirt.
Beautiful.
I appreciate it.
Heidelltown, son. See, we're generous in Ohio, baby.
Yeah, so.
We're generous in Ohio.
Thank you so much to the Paul brothers.
Let me tell you something. In Ohio, when we get, we give. That's how we are.
That's how it is, yeah.
That's how we are, baby.
Shout out to Ohio.
And happy Father's Day to everybody. Yeah, absolutely, man. Good call, B. Good call.
I totally forgot to say that at the beginning of the show.
I did. I completely
missed that. I totally did. Hey, you're the father, so we're supposed to say it to you. We owe it to you. You don't owe us a damn thing.
This is very true. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to come out and say that. And I kind of wanted to play that role like it was my fault, but it really wasn't, you know? Robert's on the line. He's also texting me. I got you, man. We're going to bring you on in a few minutes.
Robert, take it easy, all right? please, Robbie.
All right, on Showtime, Jermall Charlo versus Juan Macias Montiel. Charlo wins a unanimous decision, 118-109, 119-109, and 120-108. Now, let me tell you what. The scores are pretty wide here, but that does not do the fight justice, man. Montiel was game. He really was. He took everything Charlo threw at him, and Charlo threw everything at him. Charlo tired as the fight went on, and Montiel was just very awkward in spots. He landed some good shots against Charlo down the stretch. I think he stunned Charlo a couple times down the stretch. Charlo also stunned him early on, but he was just not on Charlo's level, man. He just wasn't. But the bigger thing was, man, Charlo's getting a lot of hate on social media. And I got to be honest, man, I think a lot of it's deserved. I really do. Because, look, man, you know, this guy, Montiel, was supposed to get steamrolled in there. And now you can look at the scores and say, well, he shut him out. What are you talking? He did get steamrolled, blah, blah, blah. Watch that fight. He did not get steamrolled. He was losing rounds. But, you know, as the later rounds came on, he was still losing rounds, but he wasn't getting steamrolled. And we all expected Charlo to knock this guy out cold. Who could have imagined, and if you don't, you know, if you don't think it was a great performance, if you think Charlo did a great job last night, let me ask you a question. What would happen if Canelo was in there that night? Canelo would have demolished that guy. That fight wouldn't have went six rounds, son. He demolishes. Why Montiel was able to walk Charlo down when Charlo had this guy hurt, I think it was in the fifth round or something like that. It was like earlier in the fight. Had him hurt, straight right hand, clipped him right on his chin. Montiel does a dance, right? Goes to, you know, lateral moves over the side. Charlo does not cut off the ring. Charlo walks right after him. He doesn't cut off the ring. He did not try to cut off the ring. Had he cut off the ring, he might have been able to stop that guy. The ref may have jumped in, and it was all night like that. You know, and everybody was on Montiel's footwork, and I was too. He's awkward. He looks like he's off balance half of the time. You know, that being said, you know, listen, man, why this guy in that footwork was able to walk you you know, to walk you backwards. I don't know. Charlo seemed to be the stronger guy in there. He seemed to be obviously the better boxer, clearly. You know, I don't know. What did you make of Charlo last night?
I didn't know too much about Montiel going in. I didn't know he could switch to southpaw. I didn't know he was ambidextrous. I didn't know he was that awkward. The one thing I do like about what Charlo did yesterday is he did hurt him, and he went after him, and he made the effort to try to get him out of there. I will give him that.
Yeah.
You made a good point about cutting off the ring. You know, if you see the guy who's got the guy's trying to escape, he's not trying to stand and fight with you, guy's moving a lot, then you got to kind of cut him off at the pass, cut off the escape routes. And I think what you're probably indicating is after a while, you got to figure out that this guy's circling this way or circling that way, and you got to cut him off, right? You got to pick up on the fact that this guy is trying to stick and move against you. In other words, you got to figure out at this level where Charlo is at being a champion, you got to start figuring things out as the fight progresses, right? You got to be able to pick up on, you know, habits and what your opponent's doing in there. Charlo did hurt him several times in the fight. A couple times I thought Montiel was going to go.
Yeah.
But to his credit, he hung in there. Did he land some good shots? Yeah, I don't think he really hurt Charlo. He may have stunned him a little bit.
I think he stunned him. I don't think he wobbled him or hurt him, but he definitely stunned him. And he definitely got his attention. Yeah.
Correct. I think he buzzed him with the shots that he didn't see come in that had kind of an awkward surprise element to them. I guess the expectations going into this fight was that Charlo was supposed to demolish this guy. I didn't think Montiel was going to finish the fight. I didn't expect it to go past five or six rounds. So obviously Montiel exceeded just about everyone's expectations. But we have to ask ourselves, was Montiel better than we thought, or did Charlo do worse than we thought he would and worse than we expected?
McGee took out Montiel.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So yeah. Why we wouldn't think Charlo would be able to take him out, because McGee, yeah. You know, look, man, I mean, McGee is not the greatest fighter on the planet. He's a obviously world-class fighter, don't get me wrong. But when we're talking, you know, upper-level, upper-echelon fighters and stuff like that, he's not exactly the guy I'd pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Maestro in the chat says that – I'm sorry, go ahead, B.
I was hard pressed to give Montiel a round in this fight, though. I will have to say that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I completely agree.
And at least, unlike Stevenson, Charlo did. He did try to get him out of there. He was the aggressor in the fight, and I thought he hurt him several times. Now, should he have gotten him out of there? I would have thought he should have. Yeah, and, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know much about this guy, Montiel, but, you know, he looked like he had a little bit of skill to him. Like he could, you know, you're telling me Munguia knocked him out. I didn't know that. I really didn't. I have to be honest, and shame on me, I didn't do much research on Montiel, and that's my fault. So,
I mean, that's fine. There's not a lot to research. I mean, he's not, you know, your upper level fighter that you're going to be able to, you know, that you're going to research on. You know what I'm saying?
He
was brought in as an opponent. He was brought in for a payday.
He was a showcase.
This was a squash match. And on the cards, it was a squash match. I get it.
Yeah.
And Charlo did what he was supposed to do, won every round. I get you.
Yeah.
But he underperformed in the sense that there was a reason why this guy was in front of you.
Yeah. So in other words, he hurt the guy, and he couldn't finish him. So he's got to be able to finish guys when he hasn't hurt, in other words.
Right.
If the guy's moving, you got to be able to, you know, as the fight wears on, you got to be able to figure out what's going on, and you have to cut him off at the pass and stop allowing him to keep escaping.
Right.
I think he makes some valid points. But the one thing I do like is Charlo stayed determined. He never gave up, and he kept pressuring, right? And he kept trying to get him out of there, and he kept...
You can't knock it. Yeah.
Yeah. He kept throwing and landing good shots. So the effort was there. Now, maybe the awkwardness threw him off, whatever. Maybe he didn't do his homework. Maybe he underestimated him. That's all well and good. But as you said, when we watch these guys fight, we're looking at Charlo and we're envisioning him, that version of what we saw yesterday. We're envisioning that version of what we saw yesterday of Charlo in there with Canelo Alvarez.
That's
now,
what, you know, I mean, that's what he said. He said, before this, you know, there was a lot of talk about him and Canelo. He wants Canelo. He wants this. He wants that.
Yeah.
Who could have imagined Canelo would have killed? They would wipe the floor with that guy. There's no way.
I don't see him beating Canelo. I have to be honest with you. I don't 100% see.
No.
I think the one guy that's
not even close, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to stick to my gun turn. I'm going to say the one guy I think gives Canelo problems is David Benavidez, and I don't think anyone else.
Yeah.
I don't think Charlo. I don't think Chris Eubank Jr.
No.
I don't think Andre. I don't think Golovkin. I don't think Murat. I don't think any of those guys at middleweight,
no.
Danny Jacobs. I don't think any of them can beat Canelo. I think the one threat that Canelo has, I even think Canelo beats Beterbiev. I feel comfortable in saying I think he beats Beterbiev.
I think so too.
I think his toughest challenge is going to be David Benavidez. This is a guy that's fast, throws a lot of punches, can fight on the outside and on the inside. This is a guy who's got a really extensive repertoire. And I think that would cause a lot of problems with Canelo. These other guys, I just think they have a lot of holes in their game, right?
And I tell you what, Canelo has very few. I mean,
very
few holes in his game, man.
And the holes that he does have, he's kind of identified them, and he's come up with ways to minimize the holes, right?
Yeah.
He's never going to be the fastest guy in the world on his feet, but his feints and his movement and his timing and anticipation have kind of made up for that.
Well, and his defense, I mean, it really...
And his upper body movement.
Yeah, for sure.
His upper body movement, his head movement.
Yeah.
That speaks to his timing.
Yeah, so this fight was a disappointment in the sense that, like I said, I mean, Charlo won the fight. He won it convincingly. Nobody can say that Montiel won the decision. Nobody, I mean, didn't even come close, obviously. Won every round. I get you. Again, you got to look at why this guy was brought in. This was a squash match from the world.
He wasn't supposed to go to this. He was not supposed
not
to go to this.
Even supposed to smell the eighth or ninth round.
I can't dispute you on that.
Yeah. So I think all in all, I mean, listen, we're talking about Charlo. Listen, I think his stock went down after this fight. I mean, I really do. I mean, you think about it. You think about it because prior to this one, we would have been like, the Canelo fight or this fight or this fight would have been a little bit more competitive. Now we don't know. Now we don't, you know, when we thought we picked Charlo to win certain fights, now, man, I don't know. You know?
But
give him the benefit of the doubt. Give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, Houston, you know, he's fighting in his hometown. That ain't an easy thing to do. There's a lot of people there. So, yeah, man. So what was your question? Where does
Charlo go next?
I don't know.
We need these guys to unify down there. We need Charlo to fight Andre. We need Charlo to fight Golovkin. We need Golovkin to fight Andre. We need these guys to fight each other.
Well, you know, Murata, I think, is it Triple G and Murata supposed to be next? I don't think it's quite signed, but that's kind of the route it's going because Charlo called out Triple G after the fight. And Jim Gray, who I can't stand, did have a good answer for that. And he says, do you think that's a makeable fight? I don't think it's a makeable fight. I mean, it's not a makeable fight. And then Andre, listen, that's another fight that's not going to be, you know, I don't know how makeable it is. The fact that these guys, this is what kills everything, is the fact that there's so many different, you know, there's TV deals, there's this, there's that, and that's what makes it difficult.
But the beautiful thing with DAZN and these DAZN fighters is they're willing to let these guys do one-offs on other networks. Whereas if you're an ESPN fighter or you're a Fox PBC fighter, it's harder for those types of fighters in those situations to go on other networks, right?
Right.
Other platforms. At least Eddie Hearn has said that we have no problem, and I'm assuming, and I'm pretty confident in saying that he must have got that permission from DAZN. That's part of the deal, right? That you know, if someone can provide, you know, more money somewhere else, if a fighter can get paid more money on Fox or fighting on Fox or fighting on ESPN, then obviously we'll allow that, but give us the first right of refusal. Let us give us the opportunity to match or beat, right?
Right.
So I think that, you know, these fights from the zone's perspective, these fights could get made if the money is right, and it makes more sense for these guys to go fight on Fox or ESPN or whatever.
Yeah.
Particularly Fox, because the zone and Fox have the middleweights. Right?
ESPN is getting bumped for the College World Series, you know, and cheerleading and stuff like that.
I mean,
so,
what does ESPN have? Murata, right? I think Bob Arum promotes Murata.
I guess, yeah. I mean, when was the last time Murata fought anything, you know?
Yeah, they don't have – so Top Rank doesn't have too many middleweights, but the zone has all the middleweights, and Fox has some pretty decent middleweights too.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's where it is, yeah. That's where it is.
Yeah.
So
that's what it all comes down to. If the zone is willing to, allow Andre to fight on Fox, which I don't think would be a problem, then the fight can get made.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. On the undercard there, Isaac Cruz beat Francisco Vargas, by unanimous decision. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really have much to say about the fight as far as it goes. I mean, it was just kind of okay for me, nothing major.
Yeah, the PBC card, I think, was the weakest card of the weekend. I think the strongest card of the weekend was the DAZN card. I enjoyed the DAZN card. The DAZN card was much better than I anticipated.
Yeah, for sure it was. It really was.
Pretty solid.
Angela Leo wins a majority decision over Aaron Almeida by the scores of 95-all, 96-94, and 98-92. I actually thought Almeida won this, but, I mean, what do I know? You know, what are you going to do? Speaking of that DAZN card, let's go to it here. Jaime Munguia versus Camille Zaramata. Munguia wins by a TKO after six. The fight was stopped after the sixth round. Munguia looked good here, man, but Zaramata looked like he was gassed after the second round. But that being said, he only had a short time to prepare. It wasn't like he had months to prepare for this, you know what I mean? So I didn't expect much from him. Listen, man, Munguia looked pretty good. You know, I think he looked pretty good, but we got to see him now step his game up a little bit. You know, and again, this wasn't his fault because I thought that Selesky fight was a good fight for him. You can't really blame him for this. I get it. But the next one, man, I think that we got to, you know, we got to get you some competition here. He had mentioned Gabe Rosado. I'm thinking a little bit more than Gabe Rosado, but again, I don't hate that fight. I don't hate that fight, you know.
Yeah.
I think he would definitely be favored over Gabe Rosado. What were your thoughts on Munguia as you break it down?
Munguia looked the best I've ever seen him look.
Yeah.
Honest with you, he was putting his shots together very well. He was opening up his shots. I loved how he was ripping to the body with both hands and making Zaramata cover up down there with his elbows, and then he was opening up the path for the uppercut. So I love how he was going to the body on both sides and forcing Zaramata to drop his elbows down low and keep his hands, you know, to his sides, and he was sneaking that uppercut right up the middle. So the way he was creating the openings and setting up Zaramata for that uppercut, and the way he was landing that uppercut with you know, great accuracy and flush, I thought his jab was on point. He was actually moving his head well yesterday, throwing feints, mixing up the shots. He looked good. He looked good. He looked sharp. And I think this Eric Morales partnership has paid dividends for him.
Looks good.
Right?
It looks good.
Yes. Stamina was well, very active, putting the shots together, throwing combinations, and throwing a lot of punches. He looked really good, really solid, and strong yesterday.
He looked good, man.
Very
He's always
strong.
Been a big, strong kid.
Yeah.
I would like to see him fight Gabe Rosado, and if he could get a shot at Triple G, that's the fight I want to see.
Yeah, I know, it's funny.
Yeah.
Kid's only 24 years old. There's no rush, but I think he could beat a Triple G at this stage.
I think he could, too. I absolutely think he could. I don't know that Triple G gets past Murata if they fight.
He's a big kid. He knows how to use his size. He's not a one-punch knockout guy, but he's very heavy-handed. And he's a really, really good body puncher. You could see why Zaramata was slowing down, why he was gassing, because he was getting ripped apart to the body.
Yep.
He was getting hit right in the solar plexus, right in the liver, right? Those shots were landing with precision. right? So
now see,
I was very impressed with Munguia yesterday. I have to be 100% honest with you.
Yeah.
Very impressed. Best I've ever seen him look.
Right. And what was it between Munguia and Charlo? Munguia finished the job.
And Munguia got Zometa out of there quicker than Golovkin did.
And that's the thing, man. He was supposed to get this guy out of there. He was supposed to win that fight, put the statement on it, and that's what he did. So Munguia's stock goes up, even though he's with a guy that he should have knocked out. You know what I mean?
Well, who's better, Montiel or Zometa? They're pretty much the same level of opposition. Can you make an argument Zometa's better than Montiel, right?
Yeah, well, I would say in this instance, I would give the nod to Montiel. I'll be honest with you. I'll give the nod to Montiel in the sense that Zometa had no time to train for this fight. All things being equal, I think they're at that point they're on equal footing. Last night, a little bit different.
I got you.
All things being equal, you know. Let's talk about the unbelievable upset of the week. This is the upset of the year. I mean, this was insane. Insane, man. Gabe Rosado versus Beck the Bully. Beck, what is it? I don't know. Who cares? Listen, we all call him Beck the Bully. That's how everybody knows him.
Yeah.
Gabe Rosado wins by knockout over Beck the Bully, man. Rosado was a huge underdog in this fight. He was just there to be a punching bag for a couple of rounds.
Yeah.
You know, but I tell you what, man, somebody forgot to tell him, man, because he did it, man. Beck, let me tell you what, Beck started out quickly, knocked Rosado down in the first round, completely dominated this fight. Completely dominated like the first 7 minutes of this fight. In the third round, it was more the same. The Bully backed Rosado into the ropes. Rosado caught him flush on the chin with a counter right hand. And if you didn't see it, go to YouTube, go to DAZN, you got to check this fight out. And you have
Pacquiao
to check out that knockout. Pacquiao, Marquez, that was it. Perfect.
Pacquiao Marquez 4 all over again. You could tell, even though Gabe was losing the fight and he was getting hurt to the body, he saw something. You kept seeing how he was pulling back. He was pulling back and he was going back into the corner. He was trying to suck Pacquiao in, right?
Yeah.
Trying to suck him in. And he came close a few other times, landing the right hand, right? Just missed a few other times. And I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't think he was ever going to land it. But hindsight is 20/20. Looking back on it, you know he was setting him up for it. I just wasn't 100% sure he was going to get him to bite.
He got him
to bite on it. He bit on it. You know? He pulled back a little bit, let the guy come forward, and boom, right over the top. As soon as he came in, and thing is, he put his head down because he was, and he leaned forward because he was trying to go to the body, right? He was going to throw a headshot. He wouldn't have leaned forward as much and bent over as much. But because he wanted to go to the body, he kind of squatted down a little bit, and he didn't see the punch coming over the top, right? He was so determined and so focused on going to the body, and Rosado knew that. So he said, okay, as soon as he drops down, I'm coming up over the top.
Cliff.
Now, it became a game of who's going to get there first. And quite honestly, Rosado gave me no indication or evidence to suggest that he was going to get there first, but he did. That's where the friggin' experience comes in, man. Shout out to Dave Rosado, man. Because he knew, right when he landed it, he fucking knew, man.
Everybody knew, man.
He looked like a 5-year-old at his first Christmas, the way he was I got him. It was fucking awesome. I like Gabe a lot, bro. I like Gabe a lot.
I do, too. And you know what, man? And, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, last year and a year, you know, I said, hey, man, I don't want to see Gabe Rosado in there no more. I don't want to see him hurt. I don't want to see anything. You know what I mean?
I said the same thing because his face kept getting busted up. How many stitches can you put in somebody's face?
Right.
How many fucking stitches? His face was like a pincushion. Yes, he had like friggin' 37 stitches here, 47 stitches here. How many stitches can his face hold, right? I was scared that the guy's face was going to fall apart, right?
Yeah.
Fucking eyes hanging out and shit.
Listen,
this
man.
This guy's got a lot of heart, man.
And we've seen Beck the Bully fight. We've seen Beck the Bully fight. That is a nasty guy. That is a nasty guy, man.
Relentless,
man. They were talking about him like he's like the second coming of Triple G or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know Montero was real high on this guy. Steve Kim,
yeah.
I was high on him. I was like, there ain't no way. But Rosado, that's the fight I said last week. That's the fight I'm looking forward to is Rosado Beck the Bully, man. That's what I want to see.
I didn't think Rosado was going to win this fight.
No, I didn't either. He had no shot.
I didn't think he was going to win him.
But that's why they fight, man. That's why they fight. I mean, that was amazing. And Beck was supposed to fight Kovalev. They were trying to get him to fight Kovalev or whatever, man.
Yeah.
You know, when I was watching him, man, his hands were always down, like around his shoulders. You know, like he was almost carrying his hands like this, looking to like, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Gabe can punch. I didn't think he had that kind of punch in him to get him out of there.
I've never seen Gabe one punch knockout in my life.
No way. You know, and this guy, man, I'll tell you what, and Rosado's got 13 losses coming in. You're like, there ain't no – got a lot of experience, but, man, he's – you know, you got to think that his best years were behind him. So he's beaten what is his name?
I thought Daniel Jacobs. Daniel Jacobs lost that fight.
I think we all thought he lost that fight. I think we all thought Rosado won that fight. So he beat Danny Jacobs. You could say he beat Danny Jacobs. He starches this guy in three rounds. You got to get him a big money fight now. Put him in there with Munguia. You don't know because Munguia, he's not exactly putting out Whitaker in there, you know? I mean,
one thing is for certain. You make that fight, it is going to be an action-packed fun fight to
watch.
That
is a fun fight
without question. That is going to be a fun fight.
How good is that fight? I mean, that really is. That's one of those ones you look at, you're like, that's the one I can't wait for. Kind of
like
the Gaddy Ward fight. I can't wait for it, you know?
I like the fight, bro.
Yeah.
I have no problem with the fight.
It's great, man. I'm so happy for Rosado. I really am, man.
Very happy for him.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, again, man, with 13 losses. You know, his career is on Skid Row, you know, and next thing you know, boom, he's right back in the mix, right back in it. Love it. Love it. How can you not like that, man? Speaking of which, the friend of the show, Blair the Flair, baby. Blair the Flair Cobbs versus Brad Solomon. Blair Cobbs looked great in this fight. Won by TKO in the fifth. He looked really good, B. What were your thoughts on him?
I was impressed. I mean, he wasn't in there soft either. But you know what I liked about him? He was very poised in there.
Yes.
He was very poised.
He was.
Once again, he was working well off the jab. He wasn't lunging in. He was jabbing, setting up every punch with the jab from the outside, working his way inside with the jab, right? And he wasn't winging wide, wild shots. He was shortening up his shots in this fight, right? Boom, boom, body upstairs, and his shots were short, crisp, and he was very fluid in here. So you can say to yourself, maybe Freddie Roach is having an effect on this young man, right?
Yeah,
he's having an effect on this young man because he looked like he was poised, he looked like he was settled down, he was throwing the shots, putting the shots together, not looking for the home run. Right? Like he had done in prior fights. And I thought this was a very, very solid performance. Very solid performance. And this is something that he said he would be working on.
Yep.
I got to work on calming down and setting up my shots better and throwing combination, not looking for the one home run hitter quitter. And he saw what he did. And he was another guy that made a solid commitment to the body, right?
Yep.
To open up the headshot. So we got to give him credit.
You know,
he showed maturity last night.
Yeah, he really did. And you know what? I tell you what, Blair, he talks a great game, and he gets it. He gets the promotion angle of it. But then there's another angle where you got to go in there and walk the walk. And he did. He did exactly what he was supposed to do last night. It was perfect.
He fought a guy who was 29-3. A lot of experience.
It ain't no cupcake, man. I don't care who he's fought. That's a lot, you know. I mean.
He was 13-0-1 fighting a guy 29-3.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was a step-up fight, and he stepped up.
Yeah, you know.
He stepped
right?
up. So we can't say that was a, you know, that was a soft touch.
Right. All right, we're going to get through this pay-per-view here, and then we're going to go to the phones real quick, but we're going to buzz through this one. Our train wreck of the week, Beeb. Our train wreck of the week. There's been two guys on top of the hill. Obviously, it's called the Adrian Broner train wreck of the week. You're not going to catch him. It just is what it is. He'll never be dethroned.
He's too far ahead now.
Too far ahead.
Nobody's
laughing everybody. You know, I mean, he's trouble. You know what I mean?
There's no way he's going to get caught.
But in second place, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Anderson the Spider Silva. Yes, from the UFC, beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. by a split decision, 77-75 twice for Silva and 77-75 for Chavez. I had a 6-2 for Silva. I had a hard time giving Chavez rounds. After the fight, Chavez said it should have been a draw. That just tells you everything you need to know. Chavez looked bad. I mean real bad. He looked unhealthy. He didn't look like he trained. He had no business in there last night. I mean none. Now think about this for a second. Chavez Jr. lost a decision in Mexico, was booed coming out by the Mexican crowd. This was his father's event. His dad put all this together, his father's event. Canelo is in the front row, son. Canelo is in the front row. Okay? Front row. And that's what Chavez said. Chavez Jr. says, oh, yeah, yeah, once I beat Silva, then I want to fight Canelo because we got unfinished business. No, you don't, son. No. You do not have unfinished business with Canelo. You know, unless you owe him some money or something like that, you have zero. That is finished business right there. All right? Canelo, as he sat in the front and Senior in the back, his dad's in the back, watched him get beat by a 46-year-old MMA guy who had not had a pro boxing match in 16 years, son. 16 years. Congratulations, Chavez Jr.
You played yourself. Shout out to friggin' Ebro.
Unreal, man. Unreal. I would have rather seen Julio Sr. fight Anderson Silva.
Oh, my God.
He actually looked like he was in pretty good shape.
He looked like he was in phenomenal shape.
He's in better shape than I am, I'll tell you that, man. And, you know.
Wow, 58 years old. God bless him. He looked like a million
dollars. Is he 58?
He's 58 years old, and he looks like he's 48. I'm not even lying. He looked great. His body.
He looked good, man. He really did. Camacho Jr. didn't look all that great, man. He looked that
he
fight.
He got a dad bod.
Yeah, he's definitely got a dad bod.
Camacho's fine.
You know how much weight he probably lost to just be on there. You know what I mean? You know, because like when you.
Yeah, man, he,
you know, listen, that fight, the Chavez Sr. fight Camacho Jr., kind of looked like the first Chavez-Camacho fight. One guy was running, the other guy was stalking, but no winner was there. They just did it for exhibition. It was kind of fun to watch, kind of fun.
I love the fact that Canelo was there. Canelo was so great, man. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah.
So great.
And I forgot to mention this, too. In the third round, Chavez called Canelo in the ring to be a part of his corner. So I thought that was really cool, too. And Canelo obliged him and went in his corner because, you know, it's Chavez, you know. And the fact that Canelo was there was really great, too, you know.
And I love how the Mexican people really took to Anderson Silva. You know, they really showed him a lot of admiration, a lot of respect.
Yeah.
They were very gracious to Anderson Silva. And right. Canelo went up to the ring and grabbed Anderson Silva and hugged him and was talking to him and saying a lot of nice things, giving him a lot of good words of encouragement. So the Mexican people pretty much have adopted Anderson Silva, who's the Brazilian, over the the Mexican, over the son of the Mexican. Right?
Booed Chavez Jr. when he walked out to the ring, son.
Oh, my
they
God.
They booed him. They booed him when he walked out to the ring.
Anderson Silva didn't look bad. He didn't look bad at all. I don't know if it's because
he looked good, man. I thought he looked good.
I don't know if it was because he looked so good or Chavez Jr. looked so bad, but
it was a combination, man. I think it was
a combination of the both. But you got to understand, obviously, that Anderson Silva is 42 years old, so. But yeah.
46? He's 46?
Is he 46, Anderson Silva?
46, yeah.
I thought he was 42.
It's 46, man.
Wow.
Right?
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's crazy. Craziness, man. And then my favorite fighter, one of my favorite fighters ever, Ramon Alvarez, Canelo's little brother, won a unanimous decision over Omar Chavez, the younger brother, by a 80-73 unanimous. It was 80-73 twice and 79-73. I tell you what, man, it was not a good night if your last name was Chavez, unless it's Chavez Sr., who never loses, you know. Yeah, not a good look for the Chavez brothers, man.
Yeah, it's horrible. Do you see when Chavez Sr. took the headgear off, dude? They wanted to fight without
They wouldn't let him fight without the headgear. I don't get it, man. They wouldn't let him fight without the headgear.
That's your guy, Ramon Alvarez.
That's him, man. Yeah, I love Ramon Alvarez, man.
You like him, that's your man.
Because he always comes to fight, you know? Always comes to fight, man. Good stuff.
So the pay-per-view wasn't actually that bad. The Chavez Senior, Hector Camacho Junior event. That was a pretty solid event.
I think so. I really do, because I think that Anderson Silva fight that was a decent fight, because you're kind of on the edge of your seat wondering what's going to happen. You know.
Yeah, I think they should do more fights in Mexico. They're going to do more fights in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, yeah, with the zone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I don't know who put on this event, but the announcing was terrible. The announcing for the event was awful.
Yeah.
It was almost like, it reminded me of like a Triller event or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. All right, let's go to area code 516. 516, you're live. Then again, maybe you're not. All right. Well, what that was all about. All right. Robert, 530, you're live.
Hello, guys. It sounded like Jesse fell asleep there. Anyway, because that's what it sounded like. No, it was a good night of boxing, guys. I'm very happy with what I saw, and I agree with your breakdowns completely, both of you guys.
Yeah.
Especially Charlo, man. If you want to get somebody's attention, you need to do better work. And I scored a shutout. He won the fight clearly, but you're supposed to get a guy out of there like that, because whenever Montiel has went the distance, he's always lost. The only time he wins is if he knocks somebody out. In his 22 wins, he's got 22 knockouts. So you know if you can take him the distance, he's not going to win the fight. I don't know what the hell Charlo was doing or thinking, but if he thinks he's going to get anybody's attention with his performance last night, it didn't work.
No. No, that was his chance to shine. I mean, he's on Showtime. He's on the main event in Houston, right in front of your home crowd. You know, you had your big chance here, man, and you kind of blew it. You know, I'll be honest, man. It didn't.
Yep.
Wasn't what anybody expected.
And the monster,
Robert,
I don't know.
Did you go crazy yesterday?
What?
Did you go crazy yesterday trying to watch all these cards?
Well, that's why I watched some of them today, Beeb. I couldn't. I recorded the Showtime. I watched the ESPN card, and I ended up watching the DAZN card today. And that was the best card of the weekend. I can tell you that.
It was good, man.
And DAZN is promoting Munguia Rosado. He is a younger fighter, but I don't think Munguia is going to give Rosado the kind of opening that the bully did on Saturday. Everybody's excited about that fight, but I don't know if Gabriel is going to be able to pull off what he did Saturday. And it's funny, you talked about Pacquiao Marquez 4. When I seen his face hit the canvas, that's exactly what I thought of. It's like, oh, this is all, it's just repeated all over again, you know?
Well, you know, I tell you what, man. I mean, you talk about Rosado, but nobody thought he had a chance to beat Daniel Jacobs either. And we all thought he beat him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he possibly, very well possibly won that fight. Nobody thought he was going to beat Jacobs. Nobody thought he was going to beat Beck.
Nope.
So I wouldn't count him out against Munguia. Now, listen, man, I would favor Munguia in that fight.
Right.
But that's not a gimme fight, man.
No, but what I'm saying, Eric, is I don't think Munguia is going to open things up for Rosado to capitalize on a major mistake like the bully did. So I think Rosado's
I think
Rosado's going to have his moments. I think it's going to be a hell of a fight. And I can't wait till they set up a date for it because that's a fight worth looking forward to. So, and as far as next week's fights, you know, they're promoting the Tank Davis fight as a title fight. Well, has everybody forgotten that Josh Taylor has all four of the major belts? How can you promote the Davis fight as a title fight when Barrios only has one of these trinkets that's going to line you up for a mandatory shot eventually? Josh Taylor is the real champion. So, you know.
Right?
I wouldn't get excited about Tank beating somebody with a trinket that just puts him in line for a possible Taylor shot, provided he decides to stay at 140 afterwards. Remember, he's jumping up two weight classes. And I do think that Tank will beat Barrios because I've never been impressed with him. But what's he going to do with a more experienced 140-pound fighter? I have my doubts about what Davis is going to be able to pull off next week. Just my opinion.
Davis is marking that guy.
Well, yeah, he's going to win the fight, Eric. But, okay, what's your future? Are you going to go back to 135? You're going to go back to 130? You're going to stay at 140? And you're going to carry around a championship belt that's not really recognized as a championship belt when one guy has all four of the major titles?
I think that's my thing, is that, and you hit the nail on the head here, when you talk about the title's already unified. There is no other champion. There's one. That's it. What else are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, really, this is just another fight. This ain't, you know, you might as well be, you know, fighting for the UBF title or whatever it is. I mean, or a continental title or whatever. It's not, you're not fighting for a championship, man, because the guy who's got all the titles. So I don't understand.
And they want people to put down their money because they think they're going to see a legitimate championship fight. And for those that don't really pay attention to the sport of boxing, they're going to buy into it. But for those of us that do, you know, if you're, unless you're a Tank fan, you know, what's the incentive to buy this pay-per-view next week?
Right. Yeah, I mean, are you buying it next week?
No, just because of the reason why I said there's nothing legitimate on the line here. I'm going to watch the DAZN card next week, and I'm going to watch the ESPN Plus card next week. I'm not going to buy the pay-per-view.
He's buying the pay-per-view. Stop it.
No, I'm not.
You're buying it. Yeah, you are.
I already talked.
It's done.
I already talked to Mrs. Herrick.
She already ordered it for you.
No. Mrs. Herrick
done,
already paid
son.
For it.
Why do you guys doubt me? When I tell you I'm going to buy something, I do. When I say I don't.
I was talking to Mrs. Herrick the other day on the phone. She said that you said she bought it for you. She said she bought it for you already.
I don't think so.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Well, you'll be pleasantly surprised when it pops up on the television set next Saturday.
Yeah, I doubt that. I told you the cards I'm going to watch. I'm not going, you know, I thought about it, but then when I started thinking about, wait a minute, there's not a legitimate title on the line. What's the purpose? I'm not going to buy it. No.
You will.
Now, Joe, Eric seems to agree with me that there's nothing legitimate on the line here. Do you hold that same opinion? What's the purpose of seeing Tank
No,
fight
I do.
Week?
I absolutely do.
I don't put much stock into these regular titles, right, or these interim titles. But
right.
I will say this. I'm intrigued by the matchup itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Robert, we're going to get going, man. Stay on the line and
Happy Father's Day, Eric.
All right, man. Thank you so much. You too, man. Happy Father's Day to you, buddy.
That's right.
What about me, Robert?
All right, see you later.
What about me, Robert?
Me.
Taking the shit all over the beam, right?
Oh.
804, you're live. I think this is Corey. This is Corey going through the drive-thru again.
Corey, pay the man what you
Hello?
Owe him.
Pay him,
right.
son.
What is
you know,
going
on?
You ordered a six-piece. You ordered a six-piece. The coupon expired last month. Just pay the guy.
Hey, man, how y'all doing today?
What's happening, man?
How you doing, Corey?
It's been
going on.
Did
brother.
You predict the Rosado fight, the Rosado Beck fight?
No, I
did you have
not,
Rosado by
man.
KO?
I thought Rosado would have been competitive, but I did not think he was going to win, especially not by knockout. But you guys got to take in the fact that Gabriel Rosado is training year-round. He has his own gym in L.A. You guys forget about that. Yeah, he trains with Freddie Roach, but he has his own gym where he trains celebrities and stuff like that year-round. So there's no off days for him. So I just think that played into that. I've seen the guy that Gabe Rosado fought. He does not typically fight at 168, but since nobody wanted to fight him at 160 from what he was saying, he moved up to 168. He's not a natural 168-pounder, you know. I mean, technically, you can't say that about Gabe Rosado either, being that he started his career at 154. But, I mean, it all happened, man. It all happened that night. I think that's the best win of his career. And that should show you guys in the chat, man, never give up on you guys' dreams. I remember when Gabe Rosado was barely making it as a pro, man. You know, and, you know, he really came a long, long way. And I think people forget that. You know, boxing is a very, very brutal sport outside of the ring. And he's able to maneuver his way, you know, with the promoters and stuff like that. I've seen him fight on so many different networks and stuff like that. You know, he's been bare-knuckle fighting and stuff like that. So he just stuck with it, man. And hopefully one day he could be a world champion. You know, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I could see him possibly, I don't know, though. If he's at 168, I'm talking about 160, you know, but maybe a Charlo Rosado thing, a rematch. Or I don't think one of the Charlos he fought, but I don't think he fought both of them. So, I don't know. It's in the air, but I think he's with the zone, so he'll probably fight at the zone fighter. But, you know, the Inouye guys, I told you guys about Inouye 3 years ago. And
You've been talking about Inouye for a while.
I'm still 100% on, with Inouye, man. I think he's a really good talented fighter. And a lot of people are surprised about that body shot. You know, Donaire should have showed you in a Donaire fight that he's a very, very punishing body, body puncher, man. And, but, yeah, man, that's my call. You guys, have a great show. I just try to flick one in real quick, man. I'm at work. You guys have a great night, man. Peace and love, man. Have a great night. Happy Father's Day, you gentlemen.
Oh, thank you so
Happy
much.
Father's
man.
Day Happy Father's Day to you,
too, buddy.
Day to you,
good stuff from Corey. All right, let's go to 508, Deeb.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Hey, yo! What's happening, people? Happy Father's Day, guys.
How you doing, Georgie?
Thank you,
Happy
sir.
Father's
Happy
day,
Father's
Georgie.
Day to you, too, buddy.
Father's Day, baby.
Hey, Joanne, beautiful day. Listen, bro, what's up with Charlo here, man? What are you be hating on this man? You got to lay everybody the fuck out? What's going on here? What I'm not getting? He look human. He didn't look like a machine, like a Terminator.
What'd you think, Jersey?
I don't know. I didn't think he looked. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, but he didn't get that guy out of there. And I think that's what people expected, that he was going to get that guy out of there. He should have got that guy out of there.
Did you like the Jersey or what?
I thought it was a mismatch on paper. I guess that was in everybody's brain because the guy that he fought wasn't really, like, known like that. And the record showed that he could crack because he had, what, 22 knockouts himself by KO and shit?
Yeah.
So
yep, 22.
It is what it is. I think it was a combination between the dude wasn't unknown. Listen, we're coming out of a pandemic. Everybody out there, summertime. Here on the East Coast, smash shit to do. For me to sit down to see Charlo go the distance against somebody, I love boxing, baby, but I don't know if my love is that strong. You know, even that I ended up watching it just because I ended up having some spare time, but it wasn't really a priority. The undercard was better. If you ask me, the fight before the main event, and the monster shit, we already know what he was about to do there. That was no surprise. So I guess, I don't know, a little bit of mismatches. Good to see boxing, because always to see boxing. Talking about Tank, I don't understand why can Tank build his profile? I see, like, Robbie sometimes behaving too much. We got to cut that shit out. Because, I mean, Tank doing his pay-per-view. If he flops, he flops. But let the man get his shit there, because while he going to wait turns, everybody doing a perfect view. I think another show, somebody called talking about, like, back in the day, Showtime and HBO, they make sure not to put these pay-per-views against each other in the same time frame, not to affect the purchasing power of the viewers, so they can choose one of the two pay-per-views. But those times are long gone, so everybody throwing a pay-per-view out there, it's like survival of the fittest. So if Tank can pull his audience to pay for that shit and he can make a living on that shit, man, go ahead, whoever wants to see you fight. I ain't got shit negative to say. I just wanted to tell everybody to support the channel, donate, and I'm out.
All right. Thank you, Georgie. Straight from Rikers. Now we're going to go south side to Chicago. Kevin, 773, you're live.
You know what time it is. You know what time it is.
Oh, God. What's up, man?
Kind of rant. What's going on, guys? Happy Father's Day. I'm going to get right into it. How about this one?
All right.
The biggest, most interesting fight of the weekend to me was Anderson Silva beating Chavez Jr. That was the most interesting fight, the gimmick fight. That was the most interesting one. The big underdog, Anderson Silva, came in and beat the legend's son. So while he was main eventing, just embarrassing how poorly Chavez Jr. looked. But I'll say this, as far as the other fights, I mean, like the guy said, like George said, It was a known. It was a given. This dude was going to destroy that dude. He had no business in that ring, and this is what I hate. The Inouye, oh, man, I want to see him in there with some elite competition. There's really no one else. There's no one for him to fight, is there? A rematch with O'Neill?
You're talking about Inouye? He's been in there with elite competition, son.
No.
He's been in there with – oh, dude. Come on, son.
Maybe
he's been
elite,
in there with O'Neill.
Not big names.
Manny
not
Rodriguez was elite. Manny Rodriguez was a big name coming into that fight. And he crushed him. He crushed Juan Carlos Payano. That was another one. Former champ. Went in there and just demolished him, man. 30 seconds in. You could have made a commercial out of that fight. Now, anyways, the good
okay.
Champ.
I don't know. I really wasn't too amped up about that fight because they're pretty much advertising it. It's the monster is coming to destroy, and he went in there, he destroyed. Okay, congratulations. And then Gabe Rosado, that was a good performance. People kind of wrote him off, but he came through and looked good. I don't know if he's going to come here and make it career resurgence and become a champion, but still a nice win over a young prospect. So other than that, I got to give a shout out to Anderson Silva. You know how big an MMA fan I am, going out there and getting that win. That was
I was glad to see him win, man. I really was. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, so I'll leave you guys to it. That's my take. Now, y'all be good. You hear?
All right, man. You too. Good job, man. Kevin coming with the strong take, boy. Area code 805. 805. You're live.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's happening, Nacho?
Wake up,
nothing
Nacho.
Much. Steve, I am
Steve's
awake.
Always on
you're the one that sounds like you're half asleep. Let me just start off really quick by saying that we are definitely not going to hear from Jason or the Fight Doctor this week after that putrid performance that Charlo put up last night against the cherry pick that he was supposed to take out, and instead he ended up getting taken the distance, and he got hurt on a couple of occasions by the cherry pick. So I just find it funny that you got a lot of people on social media over here trying to act like Charlo fought a top five contender last night and pulled out a big win when he literally picked a guy who had nobody on his resume other than a faded James Kirkland, and now they're trying to sell you this narrative that apparently he's the best guy at 160. And I'm not buying it. I'd like to see Golden Boy put Munguia in there with this guy. After what I saw last night, I'm not very convinced that Charlo could handle Munguia at this point. I think Munguia could get
him. No.
And,
you think so?
I think so.
You think, wait a minute, you think Munguia beats Charlo? Really?
Yeah.
See, I think that Charlo outboxes Munguia. I think Munguia can knock him out. He's got the power. But I think that Munguia is not as crisp as Charlo is boxing.
Yeah, Eric, but the thing is, Charlo's gas tank is very suspect. Last night, he literally ran out of gas, and he's lucky Montiel didn't have any more stamina himself to get that guy out of there. And to be honest, I don't think that he's going to be able to deal with Munguia. I think Munguia is a bigger guy than Montiel is, too.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a big kid, man.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think if Golden Boy gives him a couple more fights, I wouldn't be afraid to put him in there against the guy. This is just my opinion, but you know, we'll see. And then real quick, everybody's talking about the Beck the Bully Gabe Rosado. That's great for Rosado to get a win after he's had so many tough losses via decision or cuts or whatever, so it's great that he got a win. I'm not sure about him winning a title, to be honest. I think the only way he gets a title is that if Canelo ends up beating Plant and has all four belts and then eventually moves up to 75, then I think maybe he would get a shot at a title. But at this point, I don't see him being a challenger for a world title. I think he's more on the precipice of he's a well-known gatekeeper. And if you can beat him, then you prove you belong.
Good win. I can pose this to you that, with him knocking out Beck the Bully the way he did, with him fighting Danny Jacobs the way he did and arguably winning that fight, this really opens him up. I would not be shocked to see him get thrusted into that. Because, again, if you're looking for a stay-busy opponent or something like that, I mean, they're going to say, hey, what about Rosado? He just won big. He's your name. I think he's put himself in a really good spot. He really has, because he, at this point, man, he can really, anything can happen for him right now. I mean, anything can happen for him right now.
He's got options for sure as far as, if a name fighter wants to take him on, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about an actual title shot, though. I don't think you'd
get a
title shot.
Unless a champion, like I said, unless a champion comes to him, which, again, after his performance last night, is entirely possible. But I think, just for him, working his way back into a title contention, I don't know about that,
Yeah. No. And then with Inoue, I mean, you know, he looked great, no doubt about it. Kevin is nuts over here talking about he hasn't faced real competition. The guy's beaten some legitimate names. As it is, he's got enough on his resume that if he was to retire right now, he could legitimately be a Hall of Famer in 5 years, I think. But I don't think he's done. I still think that once he takes on whoever wins between Casemiro and Donaire, I definitely would like to see him move up to 22 and take on Fulton or Figueroa, whoever is available. I mean, because I think he
could. About Raul Salim?
I think he could get those guys. Huh?
In front of the show. You just looked over him. Raul Salim. What about him? I think he starts as a monster. You think Raul Salim beats the monster?
I don't know. He's a good fighter.
Yeah, I think so too. Me and B both agree. We both think he rolls past him.
He could.
Yeah, he could. He rolls past him.
I'm a big Aline fan.
He's our guy, man. That's guaranteed, son. That's guaranteed money right there.
Come on, Nacho.
Come on, B.
Before the show. And now all of a sudden you're agreeing with
Eric. Put the belt on here. He fought the belt on here. Right. I convinced him with logic, man.
It's more like peer pressure, right? That wasn't logic.
Who do you think, Boy Chavez Jr.? That's
your
boy, right?
I heard you
put 1,000 on Chavez Jr.
I did not watch one single minute of that farce. I knew he was
going to
lose.
Come on, Nacho.
Come on, Nacho.
I heard you were in the crowd.
Yeah.
I heard you was trying to get
Canelo's autograph, and he snubbed you.
Come on, Eric. With all the other cards going on, I was definitely not going to waste my time on that card. So, I mean,
you were there, Nacho. Shut it out.
He should just retire. He should just retire now, losing to a 46-year-old boxing novice in Anderson Silva. I mean, come
on. That's crazy.
This is his third pro fight, son.
That's crazy.
His other two were 16 years ago.
Listen, Silva can box.
We know Silva can be used to kickbox. We was in shooto box and everything like that. So we know he can fight. That being said, man, kickboxing and boxing, again, two different sports, man. Two different sports. So for him to come in here and beat Chavez Jr.,
I feel bad that you lost 1,000, though, Nacho.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad, too, man. Is there anything
I feel bad you
do?
Put 1,000 on Chavez Jr., man. I'm sorry.
Quit spreading rumors. All right, guys.
I forgot to mention that, too. All right, Nacho. Yeah, I forgot to mention that, too, B. Chavez Jr. missed weight by, like, 4 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
To add insult to injury, he had to pay $100,000 to Silva.
You don't even have to report that because it's a given.
It's a given, son.
Yeah, it's like automatic.
Claudio says that Chavez made the spider look like Mayweather. He had to give him $100,000 of his purse, right?
How crazy is that?
It's nuts, man.
Who are the guarantees? I don't even know what the guarantees were.
I don't know, but a guaranteed $100,000 for Silva, I'll tell you that.
He must have got some decent money.
Yeah. I mean, not bad. I mean, it couldn't have been that bad, right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to the upcoming fights. But before we do, Beeb, American Fighter is a good movie, right?
Phenomenal movie.
American Fighter, available now on digital and on demand. George Costoros stars in a powerful and gritty martial arts film, American Fighter, also starring Tommy Flanagan and Sean Patrick Flannery. Experience the inspirational film about the drive for pride and the love of family. American Fighter is available now everywhere you rent movies. Rated R from Lionsgate. Now, if you guys want to catch this movie, see what we do. We give you free movies and everything, Daddy. It's real simple. All you got to do is go to Twitter at Ringside73, drop me a DM, tell me you want to watch the movie, and I'll send you a code to watch the movie. How easy is that? Beeb, is that simple or what?
Easy peasy.
Right? I mean, who can't do that?
I can do it. Even Robbie can do it,
right? There it is.
Probably will be getting a text at any minute.
I can't watch that movie.
Beep, stop talking trash about me.
Hey, you're always cutting on Robbie, man. What you knock it off, all right?
It's because I like him.
Not all.
It's because I admire him.
You admire him. All right, let's go to the schedule for next week here. All right. June 26th, Saturday, June 26th. This is a good fight, B. I tell you what, man, this is a really, really, really good fight. Vasyl Lomachenko versus Masayoshi Nakatani. Nakatani is a tough, tough guy. He gave Teofimo all he wanted, definitely gave Felix Verdejo all he wanted before he went to jail. And now it's Lomachenko, man. And it's going to be interesting to see what Lomachenko has after getting, you know, arguably like his first real loss. You know what I mean? That Salido, you know, the Salido, you know, a lot of, you know, man, a lot of, you know, weight and everything. Yeah, right. You can bypass it, but you lost to Teofimo and you lost convincingly. So, I mean, it is what it is, you know. Rob Brandt also on the undercard against Genebek Amakunali, 10 rounds middleweight. So it's on ESPN Plus. So hopefully you'll be able to get to see it and it doesn't get bumped for cheerleading this time. June 26th, Showtime, pay-per-view, Beeb. It's your boy, Tank. Mario Barrios versus Gervonta Tank Davis, 12 rounds for Barrios' WBA regular junior welterweight title. And as Robbie pointed out, there shouldn't be any title on the line. I don't know why there's a regular title on the line. But, you know, because all the belts are scooped up at that weight class. But, hey, whatever. All right, there's a belt. It's out there, and then we're all going to go watch it. All right? Erickson Lubin on the undercard versus Jason Rosario, WBC junior middleweight title eliminator. Badr Akhmedov versus Aljamis Mendez, 12 rounds junior welterweights. Julian Williams versus Brian Mendoza, 10 rounds junior middleweights. Not exactly a fire on that pay-per-view card, no?
It's not solid, man.
I'll tell you what, man. I
don't get it, man. I don't get it.
I don't know if I'll watch it. I'll be honest, man. I don't know. I mean, I'll probably watch it. You know me, man. I'm a degenerate. I got the sickness, baby.
I'm starting to get a little aggravated now with the amount of pay-per-views that they're putting out.
Yeah.
I'm really, like, I never complained before, but now I'm starting to say to myself, this strategy by PBC is ridiculous now. I mean, these are not pay-per-view fights. They're just not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're not. You know, Spence Pacquiao coming up, and then you have Teofimo, George Kambosos. That's not a pay-per-view.
I have no problem paying for Wilder Fury 3,
yeah.
And I have no problem paying for Spence Pacquiao.
No.
But it's going to pain me. It's going to aggravate me. It's going to irritate me knowing that I have to buy Teofimo Lopez versus George
a week Kambosos. Before. You know, a complete week before. You know, because that's going to be $50. The Spence fight's going to be, what, $80?
Yes.
You know?
It's a lot of ridiculous.
A lot of cake, man. Listen, man, me and B were civil servants, man.
Ridiculous.
I tell you what, man, we don't, you know, we're working for peanuts over here, man. We don't make any money.
And they're all so close to each other. Like what
that's
is the strategy?
What I don't like. Yeah, I don't know.
What's the strategy here?
That's why I said, man, these fights, these fights aren't going to do well because it's saturated now. Nobody's going to want to pay for these type of fights.
DAZN's going to kick the fuck out of all of these guys.
I think so, too.
They really are.
I think so, because they're picking up steam. They really are. So that's the weekend. Should you watch the card? I don't know.
What to buy and what not to buy, but
it's $70 for this paper. It's $70. I just read for Outlaw just tweeted out $70. For the Gervonta pay-per-view. And that's not a solid card. It's not, man. Listen, just call it as you see it. It's not really a solid card. I don't know, man.
No,
I don't know.
I'm not very happy about it.
Yeah, I'm not either. News and rumors this week. Ratings for the Shakur Stevenson fight. Beeb, 900,000 on ESPN. That's a solid number. Solid number.
So.
Or somebody commented that's 900,000 people that'll never watch boxing again.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Teofimo, the big news this week, Teofimo tests positive for COVID. Now, we did a show on this earlier on this week when it happened. Yeah, man, this is, again, man, I'll say it again. Nothing has changed my mind. I think it was completely irresponsible on Lopez's part. I think it's irresponsible on Kambosos' part because from what I understand, he doesn't have a shot either. And I think that if you're going to put yourself in this position I think you owe it to yourself. I think you owe it to the promoters, all the people that bought tickets, all the people that made travel arrangements, all the people who bought hotels, plane tickets, et cetera, to come in, at least get the fight in the ring. At least do your best to get the fight in the ring. Not getting that vaccine is not doing your best to get that fight in the ring. And I don't know. Chandler M says, do I get an automatic W for your boy faking COVID because he's scared? You do not. No, we've delayed that, and they'll fight, in August? They'll fight in August. So
August 14th.
Yeah, August 14th. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people saying that Teofimo doesn't have COVID. Shut up.
A lot of people are still running with that, bro.
They're dumb. I mean, really, like, what do you want to do? Have him cough on you to see if you get it? I mean, don't be stupid. He didn't have the vaccine. Of course he's going to get it. You don't get the vaccine, you're going to get it.
What commission is going to run with that? They're going to just lie.
Right. The doctor that signed off on it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. My medical license means squat because you're Teofimo. How much money could Teofimo possibly pay somebody to lie for him? You know what I mean? Give me a break. Come on. Stop it. Tio's doing the Rodney Dangerfield broken arm from Caddyshack. Yeah. And I read, I guess there was a video posted this week. Tio said that he didn't get the shot because he has asthma. Another brain surgeon here. I think he's been hit in the head one too many times. So he didn't get the shot because he had asthma, and he wasn't sure how the shot would affect his asthma. Let me tell you how the shot will affect your asthma, stupid. It'll keep you from getting coronavirus and getting real sick, okay? That's what the shot will do for your asthma. I don't get it, babe. These guys, man, it bugs me. Joe Joyce and Carlos Takam set for July 24th. Beebe, you like the fight?
Love this fight.
I love it too.
Awesome fight.
Listen, man, Carlos Takam is one of those fighters that can make you look bad at any stage. You know what I mean? He's that good of a boxer. He can give you problems. But you know me, man, Joe Joyce has always been one of my favorites, so I'm not picking against him. That's how we do it. Wilder and Tyson Fury was the other big news this week. They had a press conference to announce their third fight. Babe, was not exciting at all. Wilder gave an opening statement, and that's all he said. He sat there with his headphones on and his head down through the entire thing. I'll be honest, it didn't look like he wanted to be there. So, I don't know, man. Not looking good. Body language was terrible. It didn't look good.
It looked like he wanted to be disengaged and, you know, not even attached to what was going on around him. You know what I mean? He just wanted to kind of separate himself from everything that was going on. Didn't want to hear nothing. Didn't want to participate in anything. It looked as though he wanted to just escape into his own little world and not have to deal with the reality of the situation. And that is, he's going to be asked questions about the accusations, right? And he just didn't want to do that. And then the crazy thing about the whole thing was he went and did interviews after the specific people who were going to give him softball interviews and who were going to just basically say, oh, yeah, Deontay Wilder, we know Tyson Fury cheated.
Yeah.
And just gas him up and, you know, tell him the things that he wants to hear.
It's what he wants, yeah.
So to me, it just looks like this is a guy who still doesn't think that he lost because of any mistakes he made in that second fight. He thinks he lost because of Tyson Fury cheated, because the commission allowed him to cheat, because of systemic racism, because of white privilege.
Is that what he said?
Oh yeah, go listen to that barbershop. Go listen to that barbershop conversations interview.
I'm not gonna listen to
this.
It,
is man. Yeah, it's hard. I had to suffer through it myself, but he just has not taken ownership at all. And this was another way of not taking ownership by just kind of blocking off the rest of the world from questioning him and being very disrespectful to Christina Ponce, being very disrespectful to the press. And just not being a professional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. wasn't professional at all. I mean, you're there to hype the fight. You didn't do a job hyping the fight. You had diarrhea of the mouth before this whole thing happened on every excuse on why you lost the fight. And now when it's time to talk, you shut up. You clam up. I don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and here, and listen, man, trust me, more people are going to hear you on Showtime or wherever this was, you know, more people are going to hear you in this media event than would be the case anywhere else on the planet. You know what I'm saying? Anywhere else.
You had all this trash that you were talking about Tyson Fury, and then you went face-to-face with him, and you didn't say one word to him.
Yeah, not one. Not
a bad
one.
Look.
Yeah, it's not good, man. Now, Beeb, you did a series of videos this week on the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder thing. So, guys, again, man, if you haven't seen those, go check them out. They're all really good, really solid work. Beeb has been working his tail off here. And all we ask is that you start supporting the channel. That's it. Give us a thumbs up. Go to Twitter, man. Start retweeting us out, man. You know what I mean?
Like the videos.
Like
the
videos. Come on. Share the videos with your friends. Get your friends watching the show. I mean, come on. Not asking you for much, man. We don't charge. You know? Come on.
Free content.
It's Father's Day, and we're here with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go. Oscar De La Hoya is coming back, Beeb, against Vitor Belfort of the UFC. Now, Vitor Belfort is an old UFC guy, but I'm going to tell you what, he can hit a little bit. He can hit a little bit, right?
205.
He's not bad. He can hit a little bit.
He's not a middleweight.
He can bang, man, so that'll be a good fight. I think that's going to be an interesting fight. I think that
– I don't like Oscar De La Hoya is calling this a tune-up fight. I don't think this is a tune-up fight whatsoever.
Oscar's on drugs, son.
Yeah.
Hard drugs. I'm not talking about weed. I'm talking about hard drugs. Really hard drugs.
Yeah. He still doesn't look right, you know. He just
You know why? Cuz he's on drugs, son.
Yeah, he looks very disturbing.
Yeah. He's not himself, man. He's coked up. He's on that white girl, man. He's coked up.
When is that fight again, Eric?
They don't know. They haven't really set a time for it. But I guess they're anticipating that it's going to be on Mexican Independence Day weekend.
Oh God.
With Canelo, but Canelo can fight like a week before or whatever and still get away with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. And also, too, Nonito Donaire versus John Ryall Casimero, August 14th for a unification. I heard this fight last night. I am over the moon thrilled about this fight. This is a solid fight. And I take Casimero in this fight, but Nonito Donaire, you cannot count out. You can't count him out. I mean, he's really something else, man. All right. Jason is on the line, 706. You're live.
Hey, guys. Did you guys trash the media for disrespecting Wilder for months and saying that he had no case with Trilogy and this guy's just a dumbass, he should just move along and take step aside, that Bob Arum was telling us there's no there's no way the arbitrator is going to rule in his favor? Did you guys trash the media for that or just trash Wilder?
No, I trashed Wilder for making up 50,000 excuses on why he lost that fight.
That's right. Yeah, I know, Beeb.
I've been trashing the media.
You can't expect him to answer the questions from the people who lied about him for months. He went to the YouTube.
Why?
Jason, and he said, fuck you guys.
Jason,
I'm going to
lied
YouTube
about
media.
It for months.
Let me finish.
Nobody lied.
Eric,
nobody lied on it.
Eric. Yeah,
who
he did.
Lied
he
on
said,
it? Who
he
lied
has
on
no
it?
Case.
Jason,
Bob
Arum
has just, the arbitrator has an arbitrator is going to rule in our favor. He has no case. They were repeating Arum's lies for like 6 months. Beeb at least told
how are they
that
supposed
the
to know Arum was lying? Hey, dummy.
How are they supposed to repeat Arum's lies? Arum is obviously going to lie. He's the promoter
of
Fury.
How are you going to
take
They go to the
Arum's
horse's mouth and the horse is
as,
lying to him. How are they supposed to know?
Jason.
Of course they don't know. So how are you going to take Arum's word if you don't know? Why would you repeat Arum's
so
lies?
So then why? Okay, then
so
what do you mean
got,
how are you going to take
Arum's
word? Because he's the horse. He's the horse's mouth that you're talking to.
No, he's not the horse.
He's the guy that should know.
Arum is not the horse. The arbitrator is the horse, dude. Come on.
Stop it.
Come on.
Stop it.
Jason, Arum's not the horse. He's a biased party in this.
Stop it.
He's a biased party, right? And also, let me get this off. And then these fucking guys are saying Wilder is depressed and all this shit. Wilder called like Coppinger and Pugmire out. He said these guys are saying I am depressed, I'm having mental issues. None of these losers called me, and now you want him to talk to the media that lied about him? He was trending number one after the press conference on Twitter in America, and you think the boxing media matters there? You got to get your head out of your ass. Like, you're in some tiny bubble. Nobody gives a shit in America about Coppinger or Pugmire. Oh, my God. He didn't answer those losers' questions. Who gives a fuck? Nobody cares about those losers. Eddie Segman has 1 million views on his channel from Deontay Wilder interviews. That's why he was trending number
one. He's probably got 1 million chances from you hitting reload all day.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. He was trending number one in the country.
Let's talk about something that matters.
How was he trending number one in the country?
Are you watching that pay-per-view this weekend?
How was he trending number one in America, Lorda? How was he trending number one?
Tank.
Why is that? Tell me. See, you got proof wrong.
Me and Ellie are waiting for you in the back, Tank.
Go ahead,
Tank.
Lorda. Go ahead. Beep, you were going to say something.
Tank.
Me
and Ellie are waiting for you. You want to wash your car, Tank.
Why are you asking me questions that you already know the answers to? Didn't I tell you for four months that Aram was gonna have the third fight? Didn't I say that?
Don't I
insult Coppinger and Marcos Villegas and all those idiots every day?
Every day.
On my channel? Day.
Take notes, Lorda.
So you already know where I stand on this issue with the boxing media.
What are you doing?
Right?
You calling up Rand.
That's where I'm coming from. But I will say
one thing.
Go ahead.
Did Christina Poncher have to be ignored too?
She said Wilder didn't disrespect me at all. Beep. She said he didn't disrespect me at all. He actually told me on the side that it's not personal.
What do you expect her to say?
And she said it's fine.
What do you expect her to say?
Dude, she's a nobody. Nobody cares about her. Let's not give her some fucking sympathy charity case. Okay, nobody cares.
She's got a family. Stop it.
All right, she's cool. But let me tell you this. All right, let me just finish this. We've got four unifications coming up. PBC is taking over the fucking game. Charlo versus Castano. Fucking Figueroa versus Fulton. Nonito versus fucking Casimiro. Spence versus Manny. That's four unifications in a matter of like 3 months. No other promoter in this world is giving
Tank,
you four unifications.
What do you think about the title fight with Tank this weekend that there's no real title on the line for because all the belts are taken?
It's an amazing fight. It's way better fight than Canelo versus Rocky Fielding. Way better than Canelo versus Yildirim. Way better
Rocky
than Canelo versus Billy Bum Saunders. Way better. All those fights, way better. This is a war. And the co-main is another main event. Lubin versus Rosario. So you guys better tune in.
Dude, come on, that is not a main event. Dude,
what? That's a main event.
That is not a main event.
Dude, DAZN just had Rosado on main event last night.
It's a main event on what, ESPN Plus?
No, on Showtime.
That's a main event on USA.
What was the main event on
DAZN
last night?
Rosado
the journeyman with 10 losses? Rosado the journeyman with 10 losses was the main event on DAZN last night.
Yeah, well, hey, that was a good fight, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Fucking bitch, okay? Don't be talking shit about PBC. They're giving fans the best fights in the fucking sport. Don't be a little bitch. Don't be racist against the only black company in boxing. I know you're fucking Mexican race.
What do you mean a black company?
Whenever I praise PBC, that fucking La Raza hit comes out. I know that. No, you better calm down. Fucking Oscar De La Hoya.
Are you watching that fight this weekend? Are you paying for it?
Huh? What?
Are you paying for that fight this weekend?
Dude, I'm going. Ellery gave me like four tickets. I'm going, you little pussy. You guys should come, man.
He gave you four tickets. You're going to polish up tank, huh?
Dude,
you're gonna polish his tank, huh?
I'm sure that Ellery's my boy. He tells me he gives me all the scoops. I told him. I showed it to him. He knows I'm online. Also, dude, what do you guys think about Donito Duran versus Casimiro? Another unification announced last night. You guys like that fight?
Love that fight.
Aren't you guys going to do a video about all the unification PBC is giving fans? Aren't you guys going to give them props for that?
Probably not.
Right. If you're a gay lover, Eddie Hearn did this shit, you'd be like sucking him off right now. I mean, come on. You're American.
Eddie Hearn, we do shows every day
American.
On that. I mean, if it was Eddie Hearn, I mean, in the zone, we'd be doing shows every day.
What did I tell you about the homophobic statements? What did I tell you about the homophobic statement?
I'm sorry. Also, I was going to say, Beav, what was I going to say? Fuck. What do you guys think about Charlo Montiel, man? Charlo didn't look good. I didn't like his game plan. He was headhunting all night. He posted a picture of his hand. It was, like, broken. Like, you know, he didn't really look that good. I think Ronnie Shields is kind of a shitty coach. He needs to go to Derrick James with Spence and Little Bro.
No, I don't think Ronnie Shields is a bad coach. I mean, you know, I didn't like – I mean, the guy's awkward, too. I get it. The guy's awkward. I didn't like Montiel's coaches either. I thought they were –
That was bad.
You know,
that was bad.
Just tell him to go lefty or whatever. But the fact that Charlo couldn't take him out, I don't know, man. I think
did
more
you hear Ronnie Shields
tell
Charlo after the fight that Ronnie Shields told Charlo after the fight, oh, when you go back and look at this fight, you'll be like, you'll know that you did good. Like, that sounds to me like a coach that's milking it, who doesn't want to get fired. He's just kissing asses there for a paycheck, you know. Charlo did not look that good, and I'm a big Charlo fan. But he should have been attacking the body from round one. That kid would have been out of there, like round eight. I mean, the kid is no chump, but he's not. He shouldn't have been in there for 12 rounds. I mean, that's why guys like Spence attack the body from round one. I mean, you got to get them out of there. And also, dude, the guy Nui beat. Go ahead, Eric. I mean,
I'll be honest. I wasn't as disappointed in Charlo's performance as everyone else. I was a little surprised he couldn't get him out of there, but I still like the fact that he was landing power shots on the guy. He was hurting him. I don't know. I think the guy I don't know. Maybe he was.
He regressed.
Maybe
he
was better
than
I
Derevchenko fight. He didn't look as good against. He didn't look as good last night that he did against Derevchenko. Against Derevchenko, he was fucking literally perfect that night. You know. So maybe he didn't take it seriously.
The thing
had, like,
is,
right. Yeah. Go ahead.
I didn't know much about the Montiel guy, so I kind of expected him to knock him out, but the Montiel guy looked better than I thought he was, to be honest.
Charlo might be drained. He might have to move up to 168 because he came up 0.4 over. He made it on the second try, but you never know. You know, if he had trouble making weight or whatnot. And he also trains at home. Like,
yeah, he's a big guy.
Go to training camp. Hey, guys, he trains at home.
He's a big guy.
Like, he's got his gym went home, you know, like all his kids are there. I wonder if that affects fighters. Like, you know, because you go away to camp, that kind of makes you, like, focus and shit. He's at home with, like, his five kids all day, and the coach is coming to the house.
Not good.
It's not good, man.
You think Jermell's going to have a hard time with Castano?
Yes, Castano's a fucking machine. Dude, Castano throws the most punches in 154. That's what CompuBox says. So, also, last question. What do you guys think about Inouye's opponent? I've never seen him fight before. Are you guys familiar with him? Because people are
a mandatory.
Oh, my God.
He was a mandatory.
I know he's a mandatory, but
he was a mandatory.
Spence knocked out I know, but when Spence knocked out Ocampo, you guys were saying, oh, my God, Spence knocked out Ocampo. Is Spence the monster? So if he's not the monster, then how the fuck is Inouye a monster for knocking out a mandatory? That's what some black fans talk about when they talk about double standard. You guys go over the top with Inouye knocking out his mandatory. When Spence knocked out Ocampo, people were like, oh, my God, look at Spence. He's fighting some bum.
Oh, my God.
So we just got to be consistent, okay? Don't be calling him a monster because he beat up some fucking cab driver that we've never seen.
His nickname is the monster, stupid. That's his nickname.
That's nothing special.
If his nickname was Godzilla, we'd call him Godzilla.
You've never even seen his opponent fight before, have you? Have you seen his opponent fight before last night?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Let's be clear.
I haven't seen him.
That's it.
I don't even know his name before last night.
But I wasn't calling Spence a monster for beating up Okayampo and be like, oh, my God, he's number one pound for pound. I don't do that shit. This is what happens because Aram owns the fucking media, and his fighter beats up some fucking bum, and everybody's like, oh, my God, now he has to be number one pound for pound. That's fucking bullshit, dude. Spence fucking almost died.
What are you
came back
about?
And fought Danny. Now he's fighting Manny. That's the kind of guy that I want to
almost died.
Not some guy that's beating up guys like Keanu and these fucking bums.
Did you cry?
Spence
did you cry
Spence
when Spence got in a car accident?
Man, come on. Why would I
cry? Did you cry
Spence
when Spence got in the car accident?
Spence is a Terminator, dude. Why would I cry? I knew he was be bad.
Asking questions, man. I mean, like, did you cry
when
Spence got in the car accident?
I told you Wilder was going to win arbitration. I told you Spence was coming back. I'm like Mr.
Deep
Cleo.
Told us that. Right.
All right. Thanks
You're
for
like Mrs. Cleo. All right,
I'm calling.
Wow. Oh, my God. Where's Wood? Where's Wood at? Where's Wood? Because I saw his tweet. Let me see if I can go back to it. I saw his tweet. I never caught COVID. This is from Wood, the genius over there in Baltimore. I never caught COVID, and I have not took the vaccine. Stop spreading propaganda, fat man. Yeah. Okay. Let me address this, you douchebag. First of all, this guy, isn't this guy supposed to be a nurse or something like that? Isn't he supposed to be a nurse? Trust me, he's not smart enough to be an RN. So I'm assuming he's like an orderly, or that he goes and like takes care of people at their house, which you don't really need a real license for.
My sister's an RN, and they were forced to get the vaccine.
Right. And she's an RN, but she's a real nurse, Beep. We're talking about real nurses here. Wood is not a real nurse. Wood, I don't know what Wood is. You know, you don't wear, if you're a nurse or you're in any kind of healthcare.
He's an LPN, I think. He's a nurse.
I don't care what he is. Yeah. All right. But if you're in any kind of healthcare, if you're in any kind of line like that, and you're not wearing a mask, and you're not, you know, you can pass this on to anybody, you're a jerk, man. You're just a jerk. You're the lowest rung in society. You know what I'm saying? That's where you are, son.
I don't understand why people would speak out against the vaccine.
Because he's stupid.
I'm not for that.
Because he's stupid.
My sister is an RN, and she actually was working, giving out the vaccine on the weekends. She was helping out, and that was part of her job. She was getting some extra hours on the weekends, making sure everyone was getting vaccinated. So she went, you know.
Right.
She got paid to do it, but she was also giving up her time, and really, it was really she's working a shit ton of hours during the whole COVID thing.
Right.
She was on the front line. So shout out to all the nurses and all the healthcare workers, and shout out to my sister and everything. But Who's a real nurse?
She's an RN. She's a real nurse.
Yeah.
I don't even know that he's an LPN. I don't even know that you have to have that to be one of those little home people that you go in on. I don't know. But all I know is if you are a nurse and you are trying to take care of people, and you have not gotten that vaccine, so you're putting them in harm's way, you are the lowest rung in society, son. You are a maggot.
I haven't heard anyone in healthcare speak out against the vaccine. Most nurses that I've come in contact with, we have the nurse at our job, and she's telling everyone, she's encouraging everyone to get the vaccine. So,
and Wood, I'm going to tell you right now, if that's the case, you are a straight-up maggot. You got it? So deal with it, son.
Right? Well, he tweeted that out, Eric?
No, he put it in the chat. He put it in the chat.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, he put it in the chat. And, you know, said I was spreading propaganda. So you're a maggot, son. That's all you are.
That's all you can ever hope to be in life, son.
Especially if you're putting people in danger and you're in healthcare. You're an idiot.
I'm surprised he would say that. I just see it.
Yeah, he's a maggot. I mean, that's what it is, you know.
I have never took the vaccine, stopped spreading crappy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Man. I'm disappointed that he would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, just shut your mouth, man. Tell you that.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Mr. Baltimore. You may be in Baltimore, but you're never on the wire, son. So, hey, is what it is.
I'm a little surprised he would say that, to be honest. Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1.